Is it a 24-hour ambulatory?
Hell no. So no. 24-hour okay. ambulatory, mm-hmm. 24-hour ambulatory ECG. That refers to Holter monitor, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
So what are you looking for in this guy? Like, they're telling you that he's going to have surgery. This guy is at risk of perioperative MI, isn't he?
Yeah.
So they tell you you've got an elderly male mm-hmm. who he carries groceries up a couple flights of stairs without an issue. He has no heart disease, no chest pain. His total cholesterol is actually pretty solid. It says 160, but he's been a smoker. He's got a mitral regurg. So you're going to do a stress test because you want to evaluate his risk of perioperative MI. The USMLE really likes that. Now, do you know why we're doing that, though?
To have surgery. Well, we don't want it to happen.
Well, for example, if one of us who's young is going to go have surgery, do we need a stress test?
Oh, more than likely we're okay.
We're okay.
If we have no... Yeah. We have no
condition. So we do stress tests to evaluate perioperative MI risk in patients who are at least moderate risk or okay. above for an MI. So trauma on the body, you increase stress response, cortisol release, so that can cause perioperative MI. So you're gonna do an ECG stress test in him. That's actually the distractor where you were thinking maybe Holter monitor, like 24-hour ambulatory ECG. That's for atrial fibrillation. That's to pick up AFib.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's good that you know what that is because that's also really high yield. That. So, for example, let's say somebody has a TIA / stroke / mm-hmm. central retinal artery occlusion, like amaurosis fugax. Let's say somebody has an embolic phenomenon type presentation and we need to evaluate what the etiology is. What are the two most likely causes? I'm asking you.
So, or they can have like an atherosclerotic plaque or something like that, right?
Where?
That can watch off. Or like a carotid will give you
100%. 100%.
Something we're talking about.
Great. So atrial fibrillation / having a carotid plaque. Those are going to be the two main etiologies for having an embolic phenomenon, right? So the biggest risk factor for having an embolic phenomenon from the carotids is what? Like who gets carotid plaques?
Oh, obese people.
Oh, hypertension.
Oh, hypertension. What's going on with me today? Okay, yes.
Yeah. So hypertension is going to cause endothelial damage at the carotids.
Yes.
Okay. So the systolic impulse from the heart is going to be pounding those carotids. Hypertension, by all means, will cause atherosclerosis anywhere. But when we think about like the most common locations, abdominal aorta, followed by coronaries, then popliteals, then carotids. The carotids in particular are receiving that direct systolic impulse from the heart. And that's why they're at high risk in patients who have hypertension. So what they're going to do is they'll tell you there's a 57-year-old male has a blood pressure of 155 on 90, and then he gets like a TIA. If that's our vignette, and they want us to evaluate, what tests are you gonna order?
We're gonna order carotid Doppler.
Carotid duplex ultrasound.
Duplex ultrasound, sorry. Perfect.
So, carotid duplex ultrasound, and you'll be able to visualize the occlusion, the degree of occlusion. Now, we do medical management or carotid endarterectomy, right? So if you're greater than 70% occluded and symptomatic, meaning you've had a TIA, stroke, retinal artery occlusion, or if you're greater than 80% occluded, asymptomatic, then you do carotid endarterectomy. Those are the current guidelines. They've changed recently. If you're under those thresholds, you do medical management, which is generally the patient's on a statin and they also need antiplatelet therapy. So clopidogrel or prasugrel, or the combination of dipyridamole and aspirin. The USMLE, truthfully, they're not going to get hyper pedantic as to like which exact drugs you need to give. What they will do for 2CK is just merely want you to know whether it's medical management with drugs or whether it's carotid endarterectomy. Okay, and they're not going to make it borderline despite the 70-80 thresholds I just told you. They'll either tell you there's 90% occlusion and you know it's endarterectomy, or they'll tell you there's like 10 to 30% occlusion and the answer will be no further management indicated or continue current therapy. Generally, if the patient's under 50% occlusion, you can just maintain them on whatever regimen they're on. You don't have to treat them medically. So the other situation is they'll tell you there's a male who's like, let's say, 82 years old, and they'll say the blood pressure is normal. So they'll tell you it's like 110 over 70. They'll make sure the blood pressure is like really good so that there's no chance you're thinking about carotid plaques. And then in addition, 8% of the population over age 80 has atrial fibrillation. So, once again, elderly patient, good blood pressure. And in this patient, you're going to have a TIA, stroke, renal artery occlusion. And what's the next best step in terms of evaluating?
Cut in two plugs for them.
So, carotid duplex ultrasounds for patients of hypertension, right?
Sorry.
Carotid duplex ultrasound is for patients who have hypertension, right?
Right, sorry, this person didn't have hypertension. They were gonna order the Holter.
Well, you just order a regular ECG, right?
Oh, okay, regular
Yeah,
ECG.
you just do an ECG. So, right. So you don't have to do a Holter monitor. You just do an ECG.
Okay.
Okay. So you have a patient who has a stroke, TIA, retinal artery occlusion. Do they have hypertension? Yes, we do carotid duplex ultrasound. Okay. Hypertension? No, they do not. Then we say, okay, very unlikely to be carotid plaques. It's most likely going to be atrial fibrillation. So we do an ECG instead. Okay. Now, as I just pointed out, the hypertension scenario will be like usually your classic essential hypertension, maybe middle age. 50s, 60s, blood pressure does not have to be absurdly elevated. It can be like 150 over 85, okay? But we're talking many years. So hypertension, carotid plaques, carotid duplex ultrasound. If they give you an like a elderly, like maybe above age 80 in particular, or in the 70s, you want to think atrial fibrillation. 8% of the population over age 80 has atrial fibrillation. So and they'll tell you the blood pressure is normal, right? So you just do ECG. Now, if the ECG is normal, they'll tell you ECG shows sinus rhythm. Then you do a Holter monitor. Okay? Because plenty of patients with atrial fibrillation have paroxysmal AFib, meaning you do their ECG in office, it's completely normal. They go home and have dinner, and they switch into atrial fib for a half an hour, and then they switch back out. So if they're wearing a 24-hour monitor, you can pick up their AFib, their paroxysmal AFib. You got it? The 2CK really likes the Holter monitor for AFib and the carotid duplex ultrasound for carotids in the setting of not having hypertension with the AFib and having hypertension with the carotids. They love this distinction on the 2CK. I mean, I would say the only real exception is if they were to tell you blood pressure is normal, but a carotid bruit is auscultated on a physical exam, then you would do a carotid duplex ultrasound as well. That's more rare of a situation, truthfully, but they'd be throwing it in your face so explicitly that you'd be like, well, clearly it's a carotid scenario.